It's the message I got, wasn't it? Well, y'all didn't hear that? Quit your job and carry a Bible case. Well, I tell you, living by faith is the way to go about things in this day and time. It has been in all days and all times. We preached about that a little bit this morning. I can remember when we first moved down to Georgia, and the church was paying me $300 a week, and so I had to go and get a job, and the job that I found was 60 miles worth of traveling, and for $200 a week, salary, driving a wrecker, and it wasn't very much work to do at that, so it was actually costing me more to go to work than it was to not go to work. So gas is pretty expensive at that time, 2008. You remember it shot up around $3 or $4 a gallon or something like that. So I was really praying about what to do. And so I went up to a camp meeting one week at that's where I go to church at White Plains Baptist Church in North Carolina, and Don Green was preaching. And I was asking God to help me and show me what to do. And, you know, if you don't... Around that time also, a bunch of young preachers was talking bad about Don Green, and he's a legalist and this and that. It's hard to get anything from preaching when all of them's stupider than you are and don't have no sense, amen? Ain't no wonder why God don't speak to people through preaching no more. All the preachers are stupid. But at any rate, I was asking God to give me some direction, some leadership, and Brother Don is known to preach quite a while anyway, and he preached about an hour and then switched gears and started talking about how God could pay the way. And if he said it once, he said it 500 times. God can pay the way. God can pay the way. So I went down to the altar that night and I said, I thank you, Lord. I believe that was for me, and he's paid the way ever since. We ain't always had everything that we wanted, but we've always had everything that we needed. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. And I want to preach to you kind of along those lines. I mean, not exactly, but there's nothing like living by faith, and there's nothing like living in God's presence, having faith in God, but living in God's presence. And I want to preach to you tonight about what happens in God's presence. Revelation chapter 4, I should say. Some of us country folks, we put an S on the end of Revelation. There ain't really one there. And if you're so... set in your ways that's ruined the service for you. You can go out there and vacuum out my truck, and your time will probably be well spent. My children have made a mess of it traveling all the way up here, and it needs a good cleaning, so at least you'll be good for something during the service. But sit there and criticize, amen? All right, Revelation chapter 4, let me read one verse, and then we'll look at as much of this as we can. What time you want me to quit? Okay, all right. Revelation chapter 4, let me read verse 1. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. And let me just say this before I read. Things are better in God's presence. Amen. Things are better in God's presence. The last time I was here, I preached to you a sermon. It was a simple little sermon. There wasn't very much meat to it at all, but just a good time as far as I'm concerned about the fact that I want to go to heaven. I do want to go to heaven, and I gave you some good reasons and kind of compared it to some different things. But one of the best reasons, and I believe I brought this up, one of the best reasons for going to heaven is because God is there. Amen. And then that's really the best reason for going to church. You know, you can think of some folks, probably some of you folks that go to church here on a regular basis. You probably know somebody else in the building that you don't care too much for. He's either a legalist or he's not all he ought to be for God, or one of those two extremes and everything in between. But listen, God is here. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. There will I be. Amen. There he is. So it's a great thing to just come to the house of God, not because you need anything necessarily, or because you think you have something to contribute, but you could come because God is here. Amen. And when God's here, things will usually work out right. Amen. So let's look in verse number 1. Let me read it for you. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, or excuse me, chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Let's pray right there. Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your great grace. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this week. And Lord, we were sitting around today and watching some old church services from here, and we saw Brother Danny, we saw Brother Rayton Puckett, and some of the dear saints of God. And I thank you, God, that not only have we enjoyed one another's company here, but we'll go to a place where we'll enjoy the company of our brothers and sisters forever and ever. But I do thank you, God, that there is an earthly place where we can come and not only meet with our brothers and sisters, but we can meet with you, and that your presence can do the work that only your presence can do. And I thank you for that, oh God. Thank you for your many blessings. I pray, oh God, that you'd help me to preach. And sometimes I think it's just a little bit easy to preach in the little country church down there in Georgia where there's not a lot of people and they all know who I am and know what to expect of me. But God, I pray you'd help me to put aside all thoughts of anxiousness and, God, just depend on you for a little while. I thank you, oh God, for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look back up in verse number 1 and just go through this. And when I get done preaching, you might say, well, Brother Mike, you ruined that chapter and you took it a little bit out of context. And I'll just be honest with you, I am going to take it out of context just a little bit. And some of you might even say that's private interpretation. Well, when you got a country mind like mine, amen, it's hard to get the right and correct interpretation every time. And as some of you have already told me a couple of times before, I don't know everything. And so I've just started taking you at your word about that. Amen. And I'm just going to take it like I get it. When the Lord gives you something, you get up here and preach it too. Amen. I know Brother Allen will let you do that. And so whichever way the Lord gives it to you, you go ahead and preach it that way. But the Lord gave it to me this way, and so I'm going to preach it this way tonight. Amen. And I will admit to you right off the bat that I'm going to take a few liberties with it. But I think that's one of the greatest things about being in the presence of the Lord is liberty. Amen. Blessed liberty. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Well, the first thing I see, and the only thing I see in this chapter really, is I see a throne room. And I see one that's sitting on the throne there, and everything else is just a description of what's going on in his presence. And then let me say this first of all then, there's a door that you have to go through to get there, amen? And you can turn over to John chapter 10 and do your own little Bible study, but Jesus Christ said, I am the door. I am the door. And there ain't no other way to get into God's presence than the door. Amen. Whether you're leaving this earth and going to heaven, or whether you're going into your prayer closet and getting on your knees, or whether you're leaving your house and coming down to the back door of this building and coming into the presence of God, there's only one way to come in, and that's through the door. Amen. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you came through those wooden doors back there, you're probably sitting there thinking about the football game. If you come through those wooden doors back there, you're probably worried about your bills and your rent, and you're probably worried about how much work you're going to get done on the farm last night. But if Jesus is the door you walk through to get into this building, you're sitting here thinking about, oh Lord, show up. Oh Lord, do something great. Oh Lord, change my heart. Oh Lord, help me here. When you come into the presence of God, you got to come in through the door. The Bible says if you come in through any other way, if you jumped in here or you stole in here or you climbed in here some other way, you're not in the presence of God. You're a thief and you're a robber. It's a good thing, though, that God saves thieves, amen. The very first example of God taking care of an old sinner, he wasn't nothing but an old thief, amen. And he looked over there at him and said, I believe I'm going to take you with me today, amen. And guess what he did? He took him with him. Took him with him, amen. That's exactly right. In the presence of God, you got to go through the door. You can't go through no other way. Ain't no other way to go through, amen. Well, I'm a King James Bible believer. Hey, you can forget getting into God's presence just by believing in a book. If you look at, hey, chapter 5 is a continuation. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says there's a book. There's a book in the presence of God, but you got to get through the door to get to the book. Amen. There's people that have come through church doors year after year and decade after decade, and they picked up that book and looked at it for 5 seconds and said, boy, I just don't get nothing out of this book. This is a boring book. It's an old book. I don't understand the writing in this book. Let me tell you, if a dumb old country boy like me can read that book and get some kind of understanding out of it, there's something wrong with you if you can't. And I know what's wrong with you. You've never been through the door, amen? If you want to get to his presence, if you want to get to that book, you're going to have to come through Jesus Christ. Hey, but quit trying to be so religious, amen? I mean, some of the people that's got the highest standards that I know are the most miserable. And I'll tell you, I think you know me. I think you'll understand that I'd be the very last one to throw off on standards. I'd be the very last one to get on to another preacher for preaching about standards. I'd be the very last one. But I don't understand a guy that's got godly standards and a devilish heart. I mean, I don't understand having godly standards and having the devil's depression. Well, I tell you, I love the Lord. And I don't see why all these other people don't love the Lord as much as I do. You're led by the devil.
Amen.
You come in through religion. I don't believe you come in through the door. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that's what this chapter is going to show us. Hey, you know, I've heard some preachers preach some stupid things. I've heard some, I didn't get mad at them. Hey, if you want to get right with God, you got to do this and this. And I'm sitting here going, God bless his stupid little heart. He's doing his best. I went to a church one time, and Brother Mark tells a story similar to this, and so I do sympathize with this story, but this preacher got up, and he preached for about 30 minutes. Bless God, if you wear any cologne, you ain't right with God. And he carried that point, like I said, for half an hour. And bless God, the only reason in the world you put on any of that cologne is so you can run off with the babes in this church. And I'm thinking to myself, God bless his heart, I put on cologne so I don't stink. Amen. In this life, I found one girl that would run off with me. She did run off with me. And I ain't worried about getting none of others to run off with me. Try not to stink. But, you know, I could have run off and said, well, that guy's such a legalist, and I'm so mad at him, and I'm going to move my membership because they're trying to control what I wear on my body. There ain't no use in quitting church over a nut. There's no use. Hey, just pray for him. God bless his poor little heart. He's got 66 books and nothing better to preach on than cologne. God help him. God help him. And people sitting around getting mad. I can't believe he believes I'm a sinner because that. No, you're not a sinner because that. You're a sinner for much worse stuff than cologne, amen. You're real bad, but it's not because you're wearing cologne. He's telling the truth about you. He just ain't got enough sense to pinpoint what the exact problem is. You should get mad at him. Amen. There's no use in that. In God's presence, things are good. When you come through the door, you get a whole new perspective when you come through Jesus instead of coming through those wooden doors. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. Well, I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church too. Yeah. Amen. My pastor's Alan Ryman. My pastor's Alan Ryman too. Yeah. He said, Pastor, you're a pastor. Hey, when you pastors get too big for pastors, you're in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But there ain't no use in quitting the church just because part of the folks around here is a little ignorant sometimes. Yeah. Amen. 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 That's exactly right. If you was to examine yourself, you'd find out you was one of the ignorant ones too. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, see, you come through magnifying yourself instead of coming through magnifying the door. Amen. 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 That's right. Got to look at things in its right perspective. Amen. Look in verse number 3. He said, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. And I don't know what a sardine stone is, but that looks like what it says, don't it? A sardine stone, there was a rainbow, and there wasn't no pride march to go along with that. But there's a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You know what the Bible says in Titus chapter 1? It says, to the pure, all things are pure. just goes back to what I was saying about folks, the way they view preachers and the way they view the church and stuff like that. I mean, when you get saved, I remember a story Dr. Ruckman gave about his salvation, you know, with the full cup, the verbal version of that, telling how he got saved. He said the day he got saved, when he went to the church and made his profession of faith after the whole radio incident, he went to church and went down to the front and kind of went through the process and all. And then he was standing there at the front, people coming by shaking his hands. And he said, all them people look like angels. And he says it right in his message. He said some of them were cheating and lying and stealing. And they were the most carnal people he had ever seen. But the day he got saved, they all looked like angels. You know what I think? I think we ought to never lose. I mean, in the presence of God, I don't think that you'd ever lose that. I mean, to the pure, all things are pure. Yeah. It's only the Bible says that unbeliever and that defiled person, he's the one that just sees the bad and everything. Truly, again, I'm the one that preaches negative things. I believe in the negative side of issues. But boy, you never be able to doubt this or prove this wrong from the Bible, that when God looks down here on this room full of no good for nothing, backslidden, reprobate, the worst people in the world sitting in this building tonight, and when God looks down in this room, he goes, look at all them angels. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, you can dress up like a country music singer. You can dress up like anything in the world. But listen, God looking down on your little washed in the blood heart going, there's one of my little darlings. You can dress up like a Marine and put your war paint on and go get drunk with the boys, and God look down at you and go, I ain't too happy with him. That's one of my boys. It's a shame, though. I mean, but I will tell you this. A lot of Christians don't look at one another like that. But I'll tell you what, if you got right up next to God, you'd look at people like that. Well, I can never really talk to them anymore, and I really can't have any fellowship with them because they don't live up to the standards. Hey, that's the people you need to be having fellowship with. That's the ones you need to be. Hey, you say, well, it looks to me like the devil's been rubbing off on them. Well, you can't rub off with them because you're too holy to hang out with them. I would park, but I only got 45 minutes. Amen. When you get in God's presence, when God begins to rub off you and you begin to see your brothers and sisters, you begin to look at them and say, whoa, God help them. Amen. God, have compassion on them. Lord, God, be merciful to them.
Amen.
It's just a lot of people can't see it from a godly perspective because they don't spend long in God's presence. You know what? When God looks down at somebody, when God looks down at somebody and he sees them living a life of sin, I mean, people think about God as this bearded old man up in heaven with lightning bolts ready to hit you. And God's got a large reserve of lightning bolts if he wants to take you out.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? And he don't need any of your input as to who needs those lightning bolts or not. He's just smart enough to figure stuff like that out. He can figure that out for himself. But you know, God looking down on us and looking at what we, you know what he sees? He sees this big old snake wrapped around your neck choking you out. And he said, boy, that's my boy. Let me tell you something. If I saw a snake wrapped around my little boy sitting over there, I'd go over there and I'd bite it like a snake. I'd tear it apart with my teeth or my hands or whatever I could do. I'd want to do anything. I mean, I'd be desperate to relieve that boy from that danger. But I see folks in Christianity this day and time, they'll see their brother and sister in Christ going through a hardship, going through a trial, maybe going through some temptation that's about to take away their testimony. And the only thing they can think of is, boy, I better not get close. I might get some of that on me. Hey, when the Lord saw that, he added his presence to the situation. He didn't take his presence away. He got on his work boots and waded in waist deep. Amen? Let me get in here and see if I can help it out. And some preachers ain't much better than that. You know, they've decided that they're not in the opposite direction. We're not going to say nothing about sin. We're not. I mean, the Bible had never gave us any indication that sin had, the wages of sin is death. You remember that verse?
Yeah.
He ain't never give us no indication that that's changed. But preachers say, now, it's not my job to judge. We'll just let the Holy Spirit judge.
Yeah.
Let me use my wife as an illustration here, and I don't want to use somebody else's wife. I use my own wife because this requires a variation of a hug, so I'm not going to hug on nobody else. Would you agree with me that a man's wife is his own business?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we're all on the same page there. Say it one more time. Man's wife is his own business.
Amen.
Now listen here. If you was to stumble upon my yard one day and catch me with my arm around my wife like this, I mean, this is too aggressive of a hug. Amen. And beating on her a little bit, wouldn't you want to give her some relief?
Yes, sir.
And I think you'd be justified in coming over and trying to give me a black eye because of it. Amen.
Yep.
You boys, listen, if you ever marry a woman, if you ever... There ain't much potential there. But if you ever get married to a woman and start beating on her, I hope the first person that finds out about it busts you in your eyeball.
Amen.
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 Amen. And if I'm the first one to find out about it, I'll bust you in the eyeball.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The preacher's not supposed to be strikers, but I ain't going to strike you. I'm going to bust you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I want to know what's wrong with the preacher that looks out in his congregation and sees the devil got him in a headlock and choking the life out of him and addictions and drugs and every other kind of ungodly wickedness choking out their people trying to kill them, and they don't want to say nothing about it.
Amen.
Well, it's just not my job to say anything. It is your job.
That's right.
Amen. If you're in God's presence, you'd know, hey, that's hindering the service over there. Amen. So, well, I thought we was talking about down in our yard. Ain't you never had service in your yard?
Yeah.
Amen. Down in your house, your living room?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever felt the presence of God in your living room?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, at one time we was watching. I liked, because I'm fleshly like everybody else, at one point in my life, I liked them scary movies. Haunted shows. You say, what happened? They's causing a bad spirit in the house.
Yeah.
Had to get rid of them. You say, why? Because after you've been in the presence of God, you can tell.
Amen.
You can tell. A lot of people go home from church and they say, well, I'm feeling kind of bad. That's because you just left the presence of God and got back in your own presence.
Right.
You say, well, it's the devil. Well, there is probably the devil, but the biggest thing about that, it's your presence messing stuff up.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All this haunted house. Haunted houses are so popular. You're the one haunting your stupid houses. God, I think the spirit of the devil's around here. No, it's your spirit's messing things up, what it is, amen. If you add the devil on top of that, it'd be real bad, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Talking about God's presence. But in God's presence, the Bible says to the pure, all things is pure. Said, she thinks she can sing. Who cares if she can sing or not?
Amen.
He thinks he's stood up to testify again. Where's that attitude come from, man? I'm glad that somebody's got something to say. We got a fella down there in our church, and boy, he likes to testify, and he'll testify for 20 minutes, and sometimes I look around, people are going. And I just think to myself, the same thing I think when I'm preaching, I see them do the same thing.
Yeah.
I just think, where you got to go?
Yeah.
Where in this world really are you rushing off to?
Yep.
Well, he talks all the time. Yeah, but the man's had some experience with God, and one day that fella be gone, and you'll be wishing you could hear from him again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I've often thought, and I've been in church since 1974, Baptist church, so all the same flavor all these years, and there's always one guy that will not shut up.
Amen.
Just will not shut up.
Amen.
And I've heard it time after time, hey, I've heard people go to other pastors and say, hey, why don't you tell him to, you know, cut it down a little bit and be still a little bit. And, you know, I just thought to myself, that's fine. You can shut the guy up if you want to. But one of these days, he is a member of this church, and you'll see him roll his little body down there to the front of the church, and you'll say, man, I wish he'd get up and testify to us today.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know where he's at? He's up there in the presence of God.
Yes,
God said, come on up here. Nobody else wants to listen to you. Come up in my presence. You can talk all you want to.
Yeah.
Read the rest of the chapter. There's voices.
Yeah.
Amen.
You'll see it when we get to it. There's voices in God's presence, amen. To the pure, all things are pure. Amen? To the, everything's beautiful about this. You ever seen a, listen, you know how it is, fellas? You got your wife on your arm walking down through the mall and you see the little gun store and you want to stop and look at a new Glock 19? You want to look at a hunting rifle? What does your wife do? She begins to tug on your arm. Now, honey, we don't have time to look at that. She knows you're about to spend $400 a pop. And then on top of that, there's the new pair of hiking boots you got to bear with. You got to buy a new pair of hiking boots with a new gun and ammo. I need at least 1,000 rounds for every gun. Amen? What does she do? She tugs on your arm and says, I'm late for my hair appointment. But walk by the jewelry store and see if roles ain't reversed. All them diamonds over there, she starts to look. People look at and love to look at what's beautiful. I'm telling you, where the presence of God is, it's beautiful. I mean, this might just be old brick and mortar building here, but to me, it's the Taj Mahal. It's a beautiful place and a wonderful place. I mean, you know, since I first started coming to church here, this church has been an ugly green. It was the ugliest green that there ever was. I mean, I don't know who chose that color, but I often went come in here, just sat down, looked around at the window sills and the trim and thought, this is the ugliest building I've ever been in my life. But God's here, so who cares what the paint looks like, amen? But when you talk about the presence of God, things just get beautiful all of a sudden. Amen? Amen. That's why they call it in the Bible the beauty of holiness. Let me move on because I'm running out of time. It says around about the throne, verse number 4 says round about the throne were 24 seats. How many seats? 24. Translated into plain sense, it's 24 seats. Amen? It says, round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 12 and 2. No, there's 24 seats. There's 24 elders. Now, the fellows that are in control of prophecy these days, they say that them elders is really church people, and that signifies church people, and the elders represent the church up in heaven. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, and whether it's true or not, I don't really care, but I'm going to go along with it. And I'm going to say, if you got a seat in this building, when the presence of God shows up here, you ought to be here. He said, well, Brother Mike, theologically, God dwells in our heart, and wherever I, well then what did he say? Why did he say about where two or three were gathered in the midst? What did he say that for? Well, we're in a different dispensation now. Hey, if that's the kind of dispensationalist you are, take that and go to the Methodist church with it, amen? Because I know this, if I come in here and sit down with all you ugly folks and God don't show up, there ain't no use in being here. Amen? There ain't no use in being here at all if God ain't going to show up. And I'll tell you this right now. I know this to be a fact. I've not been a pastor for 112 years. I haven't been preaching for thousands and thousands of years, but I know this for sure. I know this for absolute sure. I know that people who are going through things, God has often sent the message, whether by the pastor or by an evangelist or by somebody else, on the exact night that those people were not there. How does that work out? I mean, I thought God was omnipotent and God knew everything. But I believe that often God has gave the answer to what's ruining your life or the answer to what could save your life in the pulpit on a day when you purposely didn't show up. I believe that. And when you get to heaven and say, God, you could have met my needs a little bit better, He'd have said, you could have come in my presence a little bit better too. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe that's the kind of God we serve. You need to get rid of your NIV because that's exactly the kind of Bible I'm reading. That's the kind of God I got. You cry 24 hours a day all week long asking God to help you. God give the preacher a message to answer your questions and to solve your problems, and you ain't good enough to get up off your rear end, drive down the church house and get in God's presence to answer. Shame on you. You don't deserve no answer.
Amen.
I hope you get it. I really do hope you get it. But if you get it, you're going to have to go through the door. You're going to have to go through God's way. Amen. God not your waiter. God will sit down and wait on you one day. But every time I read about that, I'm like, man, I just can't. The Lord going to wait on me? I can't believe that. But here, we're supposed to diligently seek Him. Amen. Here we're supposed to be obedient. The Bible told us to assemble ourselves, amen, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He said we're supposed to come down here and provoke one another to love and good works.
Amen.
Hey, get right with God.
Amen.
That's provocation. That's what they did, Brother Tommy, when I was a little pipsqueak of a boy. Now I'm a pipsqueak of a man. But when I was a little pipsqueak of a boy, the boys that wanted to fight me and bully me, that's the way they do. Come on. You say, well, they're provoking me. Hey, come on, do something.
Yeah.
Do something. That's what we're doing here. Come on, Brother Squeaky,
amen.
Do something.
Yes, amen.
Do something. Now, I'm not wanting him to fight me because he could probably knock me out with one shot. Last time I kissed on him, this time I'm...
This might be your last time, though,
bro. Amen. 24 seats, 24 elders. Let me give you just a little side note on that note. I bet when the 24 elders got up and left, I bet the janitor don't come through and find fingernail clippings. Has any of you ladies ever cleaned the church and found fingernail clippings on the floor of the house of God? What is the matter with you people? This is not the place for that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Who's the candy man in the church? Who does everybody go to candy?
Ron.
Who? Half are saying Ron and half are saying, you guys are the biggest problems in this church. Because those little brats get that candy and they go back to the little seats and eat it all up and throw their candy wrappers right down. That's not what you do in God's presence.
Amen.
Your mama, well, your mama might go to church here. That's what they told us in boot camp. Your mama ain't here. You're going to clean your mess up.
Mm. No, that's right.
Well, for me, my mama taught me that. My mama never cleaned my mess up. Mama come in my room, look around, go, somebody's getting a whooping over this.
That's right.
Come home from work after she worked all day and we done messed up all the dishes in the house, walk in and all, dishes all over the place, somebody's toting a whooping. Some of them words wasn't as beautiful as the ones I'm using. Somebody's getting a whooping over this right now.
Amen.
Well, my soul, if common decency tells you to clean up your own house, when you're in the presence of God, you ought to do something halfway decent, amen?
Amen.
Matter of fact, you pick up somebody else's trash on the way out. Amen. Well, I just come down to the house of God to get some spiritual blessings. Not as long as you're going to throw your fingernails on his floor, he ain't going to tell you nothing.
Amen.
Amen. 24 seats, 24 elders. And when the service was over, it was clean 24 seats. No snot tissues. Snot is good in church. Tears, snot. All these good things. But I don't want to handle it after you've left. Carry it out. Throw it in the trash can out back. Amen. The elders didn't leave no snot rags. Amen. They just didn't do it.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse number 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Lightnings and thunders and voices. You know, I've been to Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches, and I've been to morgues.
Yep.
You ever been to a morgue? When I was in the Marine Corps, I had to deal with a lot of dead people. And it's not the most fun thing in the world. I never looked forward to it. Some people in this day and age, they got this fetish with death.
Yep.
I got to watch this show about these dead people. And No, you don't. That's weird. That's Elvis Presley weird.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm looking for the ladies 50 to 70 years old who are now mad at me. I want to look at you in your face so I can preach directly to you from now on. Elvis Presley was a reprobate.
Amen.
He didn't love you or nothing about you. All he loved about you was your money. Forsake your gods and live. Amen. But now everybody, your rock and roll gods used to worship death. Now everybody worships death. I had to go down to the morgue and go in there and write reports and do stuff like that. I never did like that. I never did enjoy it. I was like, man, I don't want nothing to do with this. If somebody comes to me as a pastor and say, would you preach a funeral? I asked Brother Nathan or Brother Spike, would you do this? Because I love life, man. I love life. And the last thing I want to do is come into a church and claim that God is here and everybody's sitting around.
Amen.
This is a place for gain, not loss.
Amen.
This is a place for thunder and lightnings.
Amen.
Amen. And voices.
Yeah.
When John the Baptist showed up, they said, hey, are you Elijah? He said, nope. They said, are you that prophet? He said, nope. Nope. He said, well, tell us plainly, who are you? He said, I'm a voice. Amen. When we come to the church, we ought not be worried about if we're the pastor or the deacon or the janitor or the custodian, which those two things might be the same thing. But everybody needs a title. So from now on, you be the janitor and you be the custodian. Amen. And then next month, you can be the custodian and you can be the janitor. Amen. There, everybody's got a title. I don't care who you are, man. I don't care who you are. When you come to church, you're on equal ground. You got just as much right to shout and holler and tell what good things got. I mean, everything got to be done decently and in order, but let's have a decent, a wonderful time rather than a decent morgue.
Yeah.
And you know what? You want to know what burns me up the most? Is I've heard people actually stand up in church and say, something's wrong in here. This church just isn't like it used to be. When's God going to do something? Hey, when are you going to do something? Let me point out to you the deepest. Y'all like it deep, right? You know, Ruckmanites and King James Bible believers. With all these voices and beautiful things and thunders and lightnings in this chapter, you know what the most profound thing about this chapter is? Is that God ain't doing nothing. Look at the book. When the chapter opens, he's sitting up there on the throne. When the chapter closes, he's just sitting there looking. What makes you think God's got to do anything to cause anything? Just walking in the room where he's sitting on the throne is enough to make you go, hey! Hey! Look yonder! There he is right there! What's he got to do? Get up and wave his little magic wand over you? People got the idea that when they come to church, God's a little tooth fairy that skips down the aisle going, and bless you, and bless you, and bless you, and bless you. God don't skip over every other person. You got just as much right to stand up and go, well, glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
When's God going to do something? Ain't you saved?
Amen.
Don't you call that something?
Yeah.
Hey, when you go to church, it's supposed to be thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
I like the way God talks.
Amen.
You know how to get things done? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail. You know what? Let me define fervency in a country boy way where you can understand it. You ever watch the fire? That's fervency. A fire don't get up and go, well, I'm going to burn this log now. And I'm going to destroy you, log. No, sir, you put some kind of fuel on the fire and that fire goes.
Yep.
Next thing you know, that log will be gone. You have to throw another log. Running out of firewood's ruined many a party. Amen. The Bible says where there's no fuel, the fire goes out.
Yeah.
Guess who's the logs? Guess who's the logs at this party?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The logs are all sawing themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I worked 40 hours a week. Well, we're sorry we bothered you with God.
Amen.
We're sorry we bothered you with God. this preacher expects us to sit here all week. Should be all month.
Amen.
It's going to take you that long to say amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, there's this little girl that comes to our church now. She got in a car accident a couple weeks ago. This car come through the intersection, hit her, broadsided her, knocked her around. She only weighs about 36 ounces, this little old girl. And she was sitting in that car. She was sitting in that car and she said, oh God, please save me. This is 30-some miles away. And God, some way or another, God, some way or another, led her all the way over into our little town to start coming to church. And she come in a few times and sat on the back row and looking. And I'm preaching. I'm looking around at people that's been there 10 years with us. And they're, you know. And here's this little this girl in the back row, half the Pharisees and, you know, in the sphere of Ruckmanism wouldn't even look at this. She's got purple hair. Well, that's a no-no. But she pays better attention than the folks that's got no hair. And yeah, like, hey, that stuff's going to change. When she first started coming, she wasn't dressing too modest. And I was fellowshipping with her like this. God bless you.
Yeah.
Good to see you again this week. Come back next week. Amen.
Yeah.
Looking at her from here up.
Right.
Just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Yeah. Well, she gets, next thing I know, I look around, she's sitting beside my wife on the second row.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And here's a little girl got purple hair and she's a tattoo artist. I'm going to do my best to change that. But right now she's more interested than some folks that have already been through Bible school. I know it all. The preacher don't know that's technically not correct. That's why you can't get nothing. That's what's wrong. I've heard him stand up and say, well, you know, things ain't exactly right around here. Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
It should be right.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a process of getting these things right. But just as soon as you go, no, no, purple hair. Now, the Lord will just leave you alone for a while. Because if you'd be honest, you've got some things about you that's worse than purple hair.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
As a preacher, I'm very tempted because it's one of my jobs to preserve a holy place for people to worship. And when I see people come in that are potential, it's my job to see that. So, I mean, potentially could hurt the atmosphere and the principles of the place. It's my job to look at those things. But when I look closer and I see somebody that's hungry for God, it disheartens me a little bit to know that there's people that's been saved years and years and years and years and they can just care less. And you know what I see? I see God dealing more with the little purple-haired skinny girl who just said, God, please save me, than the fellas that's got PhDs after their name and it's really all about what I can contribute. I'm talking about two people sitting in the same building and one sitting in the presence of God where there's thunder and lightning. Boy, did you feel what happened when that service, I mean, I've sat in services and just felt the wall go boom, like something huge just walked in the building. Whoa, give me more. And I've seen in that same service people sitting there going,
yep, that's right.
One's got thunder and lightning in his soul. I'm not sure what the other one has. The presence of God, amen? Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach, and I pray you'd help us with these little things. And God, each and every one of us, deaf.